My name is Anthony Minetti. First of all, I'd like to say I thank God for everything. For I truly thank God for being alive, for it's truly a blessing to be among the living.
That's right.
If you came from where I've come from and done some of the things it is that I've done, just being alive is a blessing. I would like to take this opportunity to extend a warm welcome to anyone that's new and say that just for today, we never have to use again. I say we with conviction because I believe no sooner than I start to think that I'm doing this thing by myself, I am headed back to the crack house to make a decision between a rock, a straight shooter, and two matches. And just for today, y'all told me that I never, ever have to live like that again. And I simply hold y'all to that by showing up. I want to thank Joe for, you know, his willingness, you know, to be sitting up here to do this, because it's not an easy thing to sit up here and looking at y'all faces out there and the expectation of y'all wanting me to get honest about who it is that I am when I've been living in the closet for so long. This topic is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And they asked me to share, and I'm going to do the best I can to share on this topic, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I'm inviting God in and asking God to kind of help me share, you know, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde story, if I have one. One of the things it is I want to do is I want to just thank the convention for asking me to come and share my experience, Strength and Hope. And the other thing it is that I'm going to do is I'm going to do the best I can to carry the Narcotics Anonymous message through my experience, Strength and Hope. I make no, as I used to, excuses for being a literature person. You understand? I love the literature. I love Narcotics Anonymous literature. Literature helps me solidify a whole lot of stuff it is that I'm trying to convey to other people, because I get stuck. Still today, I get stuck trying to say something and can't get it out because I can't remember what the fuck it was that I was trying to say. So the literature helps me, and one of the ways I want to begin is this. Through having a fourth step and taking a fourth step and walking through this step with the aid of a sponsor and the support of you people, there's some things that, you know, I like, and I love the literature when it came out, because there was some stuff that I was experiencing when doing this fourth step, that there was some certain things you just couldn't share in meetings if it wasn't written down. Because you're like, we're a bunch of parakeets up in this camp. You know, we mimic shit just because it's never been heard before. We don't think that it's something to be shared in the meeting. And I like the literature because the literature says something when this new literature came out that I have been kind of, you know, just feeling. And I want to, you know, I'm here, I'm just honored to be with my man, Amin, here. It says, first, in the Step Working Guide, page 31, first, we should ask ourselves what we want out of recovery. Mm-hmm. It says, most of us answer this question by saying we just want to be comfortable or happy or serene. Mm-hmm. We just want to like ourselves. But how can we like ourselves when we don't even know who we are? Okay, now, and I kind of like that because, you know, I had came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and have heard people share from this part of the table and have been bamboozled by who I thought they were. Only to find out that who I thought they weren't really who they were. And I didn't want to be tricked by trying to be somebody that I wasn't in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Then it goes on to say, another question we should ask ourselves now is there anything in this inventory that is either an exaggeration of what actually happened or something that's not true at all? Okay? Almost all of us came to NA and had trouble separating fact from fiction in our own lives. So I sit up here and lie. I sit up here and lie just to sound good. Check it out. Check it out. It says that most of us had acclimated war stories. They were so embroidered that they may have contained only a fraction of the truth. Right? It says we made them up because we wanted to impress people. We didn't think we had anything to feel good about that was true, so we made up lies in an attempt to build ourselves up. But we don't have to do that anymore. That was a good freedom for me to find that I don't have to lie to you anymore to try to gain your acceptance or to impress you. Right? It says, we're building true self-worth in the process of working step four, not false self-worth based on some phony image. Now is the time to tell the truth about ourselves. So, you know, so I'm talking about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. See, because I was a doctor before I became Mr. Hyde. Because there were some things about me that I didn't know about myself, that I lived my life, a life of being the best kid that I could be to myself. Didn't care what you thought about me. I was just being the best person that I could be to myself. Bob, you understand what I'm talking about? So, you know, I was Dr. Jekyll right by my smoking self. You remember how I put it on the mirror and how I was proud of myself for how I cooked it up, how I made it come back. I was doctor. I was my own doctor, because the reason that I had to do what it is, and I had to do to become a doctor to smoking crack, because there were so many people who had took so much shit from me. I got tired of having my stuff taken away from me, so I had to learn how to cook it up so I wouldn't get burnt no more. So I became my own doctor, and I felt good about being able to cook up my first batch after putting in too much baking soda and doing the things it was that I was doing in order to get high. Because I had to smoke. My life had become a point where I had to do what it was that I had to do so that I could satisfy what was going on with me. I didn't want to deal with the realities of life anymore, because I didn't think that my life was worth what it should have been and what it had meant to me in the beginning, because I had been hurt so often in my life by the people who I had chose to who I thought that I could trust in my life, that even the people that I used with, I couldn't trust them no more. So I had to become a Dr. Jekyll.
It's all right, Joe. We understand.
On page 6 of the basic text, right? Hey, Dre. It says, while using, we lived in another world. We experienced only jolts or periodic jolts of reality of self-awareness. I don't know if anybody could identify with, you know, being in a place where you ask yourself, what are you doing here? This ain't where you should be. When I looked outside and the sun was coming up, and I said, I know I got paid yesterday, and I should have been home to do what I said that I was going to do. Reality hit me, but it was something about using that I didn't even want to deal with reality, even when the joke came. Even when I got that moment of clarity that I shouldn't have been there. You know, I didn't want to deal with the reality of my life and what it had become. I didn't want to deal with understanding that, Anthony, you had to be responsible for something, and now I'm irresponsible because Dr. Jekyll is in there. He's trying to impress the people in the crack house with the money that he worked for all week long. And I'm so stuck that I can't even move because I'm caught up with the disease of addiction. After getting to Narcotics Anonymous and getting the definition of the disease of addiction and understanding that disease is defined as an attitude of personalities with a negative outlook on life that's rooted in fear, insecurity, and low self-esteem. Its main ingredients are obsession and compulsion. Obsession, that fixed idea that takes me back time and time again to a particular drug or some substitute to recapture the ease of the comfort of the pain that I once knew. And compulsion, once I get started, I can't stop on my own. And when that reality hit me, I had seen the reality. I don't know if anybody has ever been in the crack house and the sun had come up and you knew that you went in there with your whole paycheck and you go in your pocket and you only got $10. And you look at the $10 and you say, what the fuck? I ain't going home now. And there's no need for me to go home now because they ain't got the money. So you sit there and you smoke. It seemed that we were at least two people instead of one. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We ran around and tried to get our lives together before our next run. Okay. I'm going to tell her that, that you got me. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Jekyll was working, right? Because Mr. Hyde done fucked up. Mr. Hyde, he's saying that now I'm looking for accomplices. You know, I'm gonna tell her, right? And I need for you to help me. We're gonna go make a phone call, and you're gonna tell her in your baddest voice that if he don't get my money, I'm gonna kill him. We gotta work this thing. And check this out. She got some money because she just got paid. So if you tell her if I don't pay you, that, and as a matter of fact, the motherfucker owed me $100 more. She gonna give it up. I'm talking about my story. I'm talking about the things it is that I did. Hey, the things it is that I did when Dr. Jekyll was at work. I'm gonna come in here and be lying, trying to impress you about the disease of addiction. Disease of addiction whipped my black ass. It made me do things that I didn't want to do. I'm talking about tricking. Dr. Jekyll said, we're gonna trick with her. We're gonna get her and we're gonna do what it is that we want, and we're gonna have our sexual way with her. That's what Dr. Jekyll said. I smoked one. Mr. Hyde came around. Mr. Hyde said, we ain't got time for that, doc. We got to get what we got to get. Sometimes we could do this very well. I was very good at, I had become an expert at manipulation. I became an expert at lying. Mm-hmm. Most importantly of all, the fourth step got me in touch with, I became an expert at self-deception. I was deceiving myself to try to get one more. Dr. Jekyll was a bad boy. But something happened when irresponsibility kicked in. When I realized that I couldn't live up to my responsibilities no more. When I realized that I was a bum. That when I was sitting in the crack house, I don't know if anybody was, I was in Jerry's basement. You know, my life had become to a point, it had gotten to a point where the only thing I was seeing was matches and eyeballs. Sitting in the basement with candles lit, and all you see is other people's eyes. That's where
Dr. Jekyll had took me, and Mr. Hyde became comfortable with staying in there. It says, sometimes we could do this very well, but later it was less important and more impossible. I had gotten to a point where, I mean, I couldn't do it no more. I couldn't face the world for who my mother had brought into this world no more. I decided that I was going to smoke crack until I died. That was going to be it. That was going to be the end of the story. I was going to stay in Jerry's basement, and I was just going to live out my life smoking. That woman that I told y'all about, she had got tired of Dr. Jekyll and his famous lies and his fascinating stories. One day I came home and she said it was over. She said, hey, I'm tired of your lies. I don't know if anybody ever got to a point where they actually heard what somebody said. That day I heard what she said. And I remember my spirit breaking down because I loved it in her. I loved it in her with all of my heart. And she said it was over. And I remember that day so vividly, and I just knew that I wanted to die and I was going to kill myself. I got in my little car and I got on 76 and I was going to run into the medium. But I just had one sincere prayer. I said, God, there's a God in heaven above. You know, Dr. Jekyll showed up one more time. He said, I just need to talk to her one more time. I need to tell her that I loved her once more. She needed to hear me tell her that I loved her. And I veered off the expressway, I got in the house, and she had been gone for some months, and she hadn't, and was telling people that she never wanted to talk to me again. I got in the house, and the phone rang. Through that sincere prayer, she was on the other end. And to this day, I don't know what she said. All I know, it went, I said hello, and it said, wah, 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 wah. I knew that day that there was a God. And from that day forth, I sat up a sincere prayer, and I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at that point died when I got here among y'all. Because Dr. Jekyll is beginning and have been coming back to life. Dr. Jekyll is back and he's here in a room full of people sharing his story about where he could have been, not only where he was, but where he is right now as a result of coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Things have been wonderful. If you're new here, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, things for me have been so great that sometimes, I'm just so excited about how wonderful life had become. I remember coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and wanting to tell everybody this wonderful drug story it is that I had. I wanted to tell everybody this wonderful crack story it is that I had. But my life has been so good in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, sometimes I don't even want to share about it because it's so unbelievable. You know, you're looking at the guy who came in here and who just believed in everything it is that you guys said. And you said if you just do what it is that I do, that your life will change and things will get better. That woman that you lost, you would get another one. But, you know, if you just stay here and you don't smoke crack, and not only will you get another one, you will get a better one. And not only will you get a better one, you will get someone who will love you for who it is that you are. You know, all you have to do is believe. And I believe I bought into everything it was that y'all was telling me. And today I've been married 10 years. Coming up on 10 years married in Narcotics Anonymous with the woman who loves me and had loved me for who it is. Have you ever come into a place where you felt so bad about yourself that somebody could see some good in you? regardless of how bad you feel about yourself, somebody can still see some good, and somebody was able to come to you and bring out the good. And she said, listen, she said, if you just do what the people are asking you to do, if you just listen to what your sponsor is telling you, because your sponsor is a good man, and he wants to guide you in the right direction. She said, you can become anything that you want to be. Don't fear the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because just like I read in the beginning, everybody come in here with an acclimated war story. Look, let me tell you something. I went from crumb snatching, and I first spoke, I was a fucking drug dealer. Because I wanted to impress y'all. You know, I wanted to share something to impress y'all. But, you know, I was snatching crumbs at the end, Mr. Melvin. I was snatching crumbs. I was a crumb snatcher. But I had somebody in my life that was saying, Anthony, you got to get honest about who it is that you are if you're going to survive up in this camp. You know, I had somebody, you can't dance with everybody, but you got to dance with somebody. So I chose to dance with this woman. And she just kept encouraging me and my sponsor and the few people that I have in my life. It was just encouraging me to do the right thing and go the right way. Mm-hmm. And I got a little penny ante job. You know, I was a computer operator prior to getting to Narcotics Anonymous. I went to school, had education, graduated in 1981. By the time I got here, forgot all of the shit that I had learned because the crack smoking blew the neurons in my fucking brain. Couldn't remember shit about a computer, but I still was telling y'all I was a computer operator. Computers had advanced 10 years. I'd have been in the crack house because I wanted to impress you. You know, so this woman said, listen, she said, you may not be a computer operator anymore, or you know, but I got this job that you might be able to do. It's food service. I had to, you know, you talked about humility. I had to humble myself and say, okay, I might be able to do this. I worked as a food server, and I started serving people food. And one day I went to this nice event, and I was serving these people, and one guy was drunk one night. He was drunk in a Cuda Brown. And I was standing out, smoking my cigarette, and this gentleman asked me, well, he didn't ask me, I said, sir, are you okay? And he says, I can't find my truck. Right? And I said, well, where did you park? He said, I parked in the lot out there somewhere. And I said, well, okay, I'll help you find your truck, and I'm going to close with this story because it's mine. And I took this gentleman outside. And the event that I was working, it was an event for Chevrolet. It was the event when Tahoes first came out. So, and I took the gentleman outside. And I said, well, what kind of truck is it? He said, it's a green Tahoe. I went outside. It was about 75 green Tahoes out there on the lot. But they had just made the keyless entry systems at that time. You know, and I knew that you press the button, I walk around, I said, whichever one light up, I know it would be his. And I walked through, and one lit up. Well, the man, when I got him to his truck, he says, thank you. And he gave me $100 bill. And I said, you need somebody to take you home? You know, because at that point, I was willing to take him home. But he said to me, he says, no, but I know a man who can use a man like you. Went on about my business, went back to work. 2 weeks later, I got a call from the temporary agency that I was working for. The lady called me into office and she said, the other night, a couple weeks back, you helped this gentleman find his vehicle. He said that he knew somebody that can use a man like you, and I said, yes. So, mind you, I'm recovering my ass off. I'm making meetings, I'm doing what it is that y'all telling me to do. I'm showing up at this humble position. So, she said, can you get to Delaware? I said, yes, I can get to Delaware, of course. I had an accomplice, my girl. We had put a down payment on a car. I ain't never made a payment since. But, you know, I can get there. I got to Delaware, got into this magnificent place. And long story short, I went to work for the fifth richest man in the United States. Mm. And I became his personal server. Mm. As a result of becoming his personal server and not smoking crack,
doing what it is that I had to do with my lovely wife and my family and working, I went on to work to go to the White House and went to the White House and became the assistant to one of the president's men. Mm-hmm. During my recovery process, I have been in charge of boat, plane, trains, and automobiles. I'm just talking about the beauty of this program and sharing with the newcomer that all you have to do is to believe. You know, let Dr. Jekyll be Dr. Jekyll, because Mr. Hyde is soon going to take over. But one of the things I learned about coming in the rooms with Narcotics Anonymous, that there are so many Dr. Jekylls in here. If you just allow Mr. Hyde to show up, the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous will kill Mr. Hyde, right? And they will say to you that Dr. Jekyll still lives within you. All you have to do is monitor Dr. Jekyll. And I've been able to monitor Dr. Jekyll, and I have gone places and have done some things that have not only been beyond my wildest dream, but things that I could have never dreamt of. You know, I hold y'all to high esteem in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I love y'all. I love the stories that you tell me. And I am finding myself being humble and humbled by my imperfections. You know, I just wanted to share a good, wholesome recovery story, because for so many years I've been comparing my story with people up in here. I don't have to do that anymore. There's no need for me to do that. Life has been good. Recovery has been good for me and good to me, Mr. Amin. And Joe, listen, I think she said I had 25 minutes. The meeting is over at 11:30. I can go on and tell y'all more about Dr. Jekyll, but my time is up. I wanted to share some hope with the newer member in here. The program does work. I'm gonna close with this. Page 95. You know what? I'm not even gonna close with it. I'm just gonna say, thanks for letting me share.
I'm Joe, becoming an addict. And our next speaker is Amin.
Amin, recovering addict.
First and foremost, I want to thank God for all things, because I understand today like it just didn't have to be this way. I want to welcome anybody new to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and tell you that it worked, and tell you that this is a program of inclusion, not exclusion. Yeah. Anybody is welcome in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And you know, like, you know, one thing I want to say, just in case we got some newcomers in here, if you're sitting next to somebody who may be looking good, who may be feeling good, might even be smelling good, I want to let you know it wasn't always this way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, like, you know, and I want to thank you for sharing and setting the tone, man, because, you know, like, like it talks about in our literature, right? Like we don't dwell excessively on the on our past using, right? But it didn't say that I couldn't go back, right? And the reason why I want to go back, because I want to let you guys know like where I come from and how I find careful, like Mr. Hyde is still there. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, like I'm one of them addicts, man. You know, I like the pills and I like the dope. But in the end it came to that goddamn crack, and I couldn't do that but for so long. You know what I'm saying? You know, because when I used crack, I ended up in strange places with strange people and sometimes doing strange things. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the crack, I don't even know if I would be here, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the gift of desperation, because that's what got me here, man. I'm talking about, you know, like, I don't want to go back to no point of no return. You talked about, you know, like, with the situations with your wife. And I can remember when I used the crack, how the Mr. Hyde just came out of me, right? I can remember, right, giving Mom some money to hold for me, right? And I say, Mom, no matter what, don't give me this money. You know what I'm saying? And I can remember in the end when disease would be on me so hard, and so it would come at me so raw, that when I had no other choice, Mom, give me my money. Mom, you better give me my money. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm not sharing this for laughs. I'm talking about, this is my experience. My mom's just an 85-year-old woman today, wearing a pamper and got Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. And every time I go and see her, sometimes I still think about that shit. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it still hurts. You understand? I don't ever want to go back to crack again. I don't want to ever go back to using again. I didn't leave nothing out there to go back to, and I just don't want to go back, right? So we already know what it's like, you know, to be using because the drugs turn us into somebody else. I did a whole lot of things that I ain't proud of just to get one more. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me bring you up into the recovery mode, how if I ain't careful, Mr. Hyde will still come out. But check it out. I'm still totally self-centered. I still practice dishonesty and manipulation and every other defect that we got up in here. And when I'm acting out on any of those, that's when Mr. Hyde is at his best. You know what I'm saying? That's when I'm acting out. Let me take you back a little bit, right? I'm going to tell you how I walked around the fellowship for a long time and I acted as if. I got married in this process at 15 months. I got married in this process at 15 months clean, right? 5 years into the marriage, look, the wife say, look, she don't want coffee no more, she want tea. So I'm talking about my image, my ego. I dare you don't want me no more. Listen, disease said, you know what I mean? You wasn't hitting it right. You wasn't licking it right. Now look, this is Dr. Jekyll. When I come to a meeting, I was okay. I was okay. I was acting like stuff wasn't bothering me. But when I left you guys, and in the wee hours of the night, and the ceiling goddamn started talking, boy, that's when it hurt. And what I did, listen, never mind trying to fill a spiritual void with a material thing. I was trying to fill a spiritual void with everything physical. And you know where I'm going with that? Because I didn't care if I hurted you. I just didn't want to feel what I was feeling. You got to remember, image was everything to me that I thought at that time. My ego was shattered. I had no self-esteem. It was in the basement. So everything made themselves available. I was knocking them down because I thought that was the only way I could build me up. Thought that was the only way I could build me up. And that was Mr. Hyde in true effect without the use of a chemical. You understand what I'm saying? But see, I can use right up in here without using a drug if I'm not careful. Now, I'm talking about, you know, when the defects are not arrested. You know what I'm saying? I could be all over the place. You understand what I'm saying? If it wasn't for the steps, because let me tell you something, right? The steps allowed me to confront me. I can't run no more. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't got to be afraid to live the steps and the principles no goddamn more. That's my antidote to keeping Dr. Hyde in check. You know what I'm saying? Because he's only arrested. He's only arrested. He can make bail at any given time. You understand what I'm saying? So listen, man, look. Listen, I walked around here, you know, for a little while, man, and I was acting like, you know, everything was all right. And thank you for my friends and sponsor and the God of my understanding, because I had to get in touch with, you know, her issues was not mine. Those was her issues. But see, disease wouldn't let me get a grip on that. You know what I'm saying? Disease wouldn't let me get a grip on that. Let me tell you something, man. It's a terrible feeling to have multiple years up in this piece and you've been clean for a while and you don't live some steps and you look in the mirror and you can't stand your damn self. You know what I'm saying? I reached a point where I didn't like how I was living anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I no longer liked it hurting people. The total self-centeredness was off the chain because, like, it was all about what I wanted. I'm talking about Mr. Hyde acting out without the use of a chemical, man. When I'm all defected up and I'm acting out on them defects, I'm living Mr. Hyde. And I like to keep Dr. Jekyll in check because, like, if I don't talk about what's going on with me, he can still resurface. I was sharing in my home group yesterday how secrets and using go well together. And I'm not talking about using a drug. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't bring it out in the light, you know, we're going to keep doing it, or I'm going to keep doing it until I decide to get some help. I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. It's not my whole life, man, but it's a part of my life. It's a part of my life, man. You know, one of the hardest things that I had to do was to learn how to be myself in here. You understand what I'm saying? Because prior to getting to Narcotics Anonymous, man, I fronted my whole time. Like, I'm really a nice guy until I started using. You understand what I'm saying? No, for real, for real. I really ain't. You know what I'm saying? I wore a whole lot of masks, you know, like just to get by. Just to get one more. I mean, doing things that I really didn't want to do. Joker's telling me I got courage when I knew on the inside I was scared to death. I'm talking about all that was high. You understand what I'm saying? Because, like, I was never comfortable in my own skin. I was never comfortable. I'm good for masquerading. I'm the type of character, man, I can adapt to any situation. If I go over here to Sal and them and they robbing and shit, I'm down. I'm down. You know what I'm saying? Listen, look, man. It's freedom in just being myself. You know what I'm saying? It may not mean nothing to y'all, but it mean a whole lot to me. Because I no longer got to wear a mask. I'm comfortable in my skin. No matter what I've been through in recovery, recovery has been good to me. I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the indifference. Everything that I went through, I had to go through for a reason. Because the man that you see standing up before you now was not this man some 14 and a half years ago. Listen, man, look. What the steps has done for me to keep Dr. Hyde at bay, listen, they have cleaned me out. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you right now, in order to carry a significant message of hope, a significant message of promise, there's a demolition process that has to, you know, clean itself internally before it can manifest itself externally. You know what I'm saying? Because we come in here, or I came in here, and I was real good at dressing up the outside. You know what I'm saying? You know, like real good at sharing clean and living dirty. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about having just shared in a meeting and then turn around and meet somebody on the next block and we getting whoever car and just go where we go. I no longer live that way today, man. I'm talking about, look, freedom ain't come easy, man. Freedom ain't come easy and it still don't. Because in order to keep Mr. Hyde at bay, I got to keep making meetings, I got to keep talking about me, and I got to keep getting honest, man. Look, I ain't up here to impress nobody, man. I'm just trying to share my experience. I'm trying to just share my experience, man. Because, I don't like that guy, Mr. Hyde. You know what I'm saying? I dread going back that way. I say honestly, man, because I didn't leave nothing back out there in the street to go back to. People that are relapsed say, look, you pick up right where you left off at when you go back out there. And I just think back where I left off at. Hell no, I don't want to go back there. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I'm very serious about my recovery. I'm an enthused addict too, man. I'm an enthused addict. I love what the program is doing for me and what it has done for me. Because of 11th step, I understand that I serve a God that wants the same thing for me that I want for myself. You know what I'm saying? We talk about all the time how the steps lead us to a relationship with God. But once I got the relationship with God, now it's time to start serving God. And I'm going to tell you now, on any given day, I still take back my will because I want to do what I want to do. You know, I still think the grass is greener on the other side, especially when it comes in the area of relationships. I need to tell you guys, ever since the ex, I haven't been able to commit. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been able to commit. So every time I interact with the opposite sex, I'm always sending a representative, which is Mr. Hyde. Because I don't want you to get to know me because I'm so afraid that, like, that emotional pain that I felt before, like, I just don't want to feel it no more. If you physically kick my ass, I can start recovering the next day. You know what I'm saying? And what I got in touch with is there's some more work I got to do on me so when she do come along, I'm capable of giving her back what I want from her. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about, listen, walking around in here, man, tore up for a long time, man. Tore up for a long time, man. You know, it's a sad state when you get home and you by yourself and you can't sleep because the goddamn ceiling is talking to you. You know what I'm saying? Asking yourself, man, how is you living, man? How can you share this and share that and you still living fine? Because I heard it for a long time trying to get to the other side of this piece. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Hyde was all over the place because I wasn't ready to accept, like, damn it just wasn't me. You know what I'm saying? This is not who I am. You can't run around here hurting God's children for a long time and thinking it's going to be all right. Because sooner or later, you know, like, he's going to get your attention. And I'm understanding that, like, it ain't so much of like what I say, it's about what how I'm living, man. Because that's really important. I ain't one of them jokers to say, follow me at home at night. I'll tell you this, just spend some time with me, hang out with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I remain work in progress. I have not arrived by any means necessary. I continue to be work in progress, man. Look, I just don't want to go back there, man, prior to getting here. I just don't want to go back. Life is too good, and I'm enjoying life. You know what I'm saying? The steps, man, the steps are the antidote, man. They tell me, man, you know, like, listen, the steps is the best defense against our relapse. That's what the literature says, right? You know, I'm trying to be all I can be right up in here. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when I was out there, man, that shit wasn't fun to me. It became a job. Getting up in the morning with no money, trying to get off E. You know what I'm saying? That shit was a job. Let alone trying to cop on Sunday mornings. You understand what I'm saying? So now that I got here, we're talking about an inside job. Because sooner or later, you're going to have to get with you in here if you're going to stay up in this piece. I ain't down with that. The steps going to work you if you don't work it. I'm just not feeling that right there. You either get with it, you know what I'm saying, or you'll stay around here with multiple years having worked step none and wonder why you still doing shit that a 30-day person do. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, look, the disease lies within. And number one, I'm a human being afflicted with the disease of addiction. I'm not suffering, but I understand the disease's job is to separate all relationships. That's his job. Because the job, the disease can't get you when you're around other recovering addicts. But once it isolates you from everybody, it sets you away, and then you left alone, and you left to deal with your own thinking, and then we live up here with the shitty committee. Disease got you. You know what I'm saying? And I need to understand that if I'm not careful, the disease will back you in a corner where I can't come out clean. You know what I'm saying? So I want to keep Mr. Hyde, you know, like, arrested, man. How I do that? Live the program, man. Live the program. That's how I keep Mr. Hyde arrested. Listen, man, I was telling you guys earlier, I seen Miles before I came out here, you know, and I just told you guys, you know, because it talks about in the eighth step that sometimes we are still haunted by our memories of the harm we caused people with the active use. You understand what I'm saying? And it's funny because my homegirl was on the eighth step last night, and I talked about it then, but every time, you know, like I go to visit moms, man, I get a glimpse of the harm that I caused her and how it really hurts on the inside. Even though I done did a nice step years ago with moms, but when I continue to go and I see her in the condition that she's in, it still hurts. You understand what I'm saying? Look, mom's wearing a pamper bigger than her. She's 95 pounds, man. That ain't no easy sight for me to go through every time I go see her, Billy. You understand what I'm saying? I know right now, if I was to go out there and use, I know that would break her heart. I love my mother, man. You know what I'm saying? Listen, gotta keep Mr. Hyde down. Got to, man. I was the only addict in my family, man. I ain't come from no dysfunctional family. I had a mother and a father in the household. I had a brother and a sister, but I was the only one that picked up. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't know if you guys can identify with a full live addict around a bunch of people that don't get high. You know what I'm saying? So Mr. Hyde was like all up in the house. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I ran out of money. You feel what I'm saying? All the lies and all the dishonesty, all the manipulation, all the stealing, all the TVs and VCRs that walked all behind that goddamn crack. You know what I'm saying? I do not want to go back to that ever again. And that's why I keep coming, and that's why I share my strength with the hope, and that's why, man, you know, like, I try to live this thing to the best of my ability, man. I have not arrived. I got a sponsor. I got a God. I got a relationship with God. I'm still practicing on trying to serve God, even though I fall short with my self-centeredness. You know what I'm saying? Because I still want what I want. You know what I'm saying? And one of these days, as I keep coming, I'm going to be able to get with this commitment thing, man. Because I know I got a lot to offer a female other than what you see just in a physical sense. You know what I'm saying? We talk about bringing 50-50 to a relationship. We cheating each other. This is about bringing 100 and 100. You know what I'm saying? Because look, I don't want the disease, man, to separate me from you or anybody else that can help me in my recovery. Gotta keep Mr. Hyde away. You know what I'm saying? Gotta keep him away. I can't say it enough, and I'm saying it again, man. I just don't want to use, man, no more. No more. And check it out, Darrell, just for today. No more jails, no more institutions, no more waiting for one motherfucking more, just for the day, no more. No more, just for the day. Never want to go back that way again. Gotta keep Mr. Hyde arrested, man. Don't want to experience that no more, man. Listen, man, I'm just so grateful. I'm just grateful to be alive. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful for the friends that I have, you know. I'm just truly grateful, man. And I'm gonna keep showing up for my moms, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, because what I took that woman through, man, no child should have to take their mother through that. You understand what I'm saying? No child. You know, my story here, man, no, I wasn't no gun-tying gangsters. I mean, I had them, did some things, but that ain't my story. You know what I'm saying? That's not my story. I did means and ways. Just some shit I ain't do. Don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? But I did a whole lot of stuff, man, just to get one more. You know? So look, listen, I'm going to share this, man, and I'm going to shut it down because I'm direct and I'm to the point. You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to share my experience. I'm grateful for the area asking me to come. And you know, and if you ever up in Irvington on a Friday night, we on Court Street, Road to Spiritual Growth. That's my homework. And we work my home group. And we work out at Work Sound Y. Please stop in. Please stop in. You're welcome. And we share a lot of love in our home group. You know what I'm saying? And we will make you feel welcome. Because if you want to get better, man, it's about the steps. It's about the steps. It ain't about just reading them. It's about applying them in your life. And that's how I keep Mr. Hyde down, by keeping the steps up front. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like every time I go through something, I gravitate toward a step. That's not what I'm saying. Because sometimes I got to do everything that I need to do, and then I'll finally surrender. You know what I'm saying? Because the only step that you can work perfectly is the first step. And just because you don't know it or not, that's by not using no matter what. You know what I'm saying? So when addicts go out and they want to come back because they said they did a sixth step before they relapsed, no, you blew the first step. You know what I'm saying? Because what it tells us in the literature, no matter what, we must not use. And as long as I know if I keep that up front, whether I lose a phone or something, can't reach nobody, if all else fails, I just need to remember, no matter what, don't use. And if nobody told you they love you today, don't worry about it. Ain't nobody tell me that either. Thank you.